Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast, Sunday, December 9th, 2018. Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her message is Joseph. The Old Testament reading today is Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through 16. The New Testament lesson is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25.
Our New Testament lesson comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of angels and messengers, we give you thanks for the messengers that reveal your word to us. We are thankful for the message of your word shared in Holy Scriptures, and especially this day for the Gospels. God, we pray and ask that you would send your messenger and advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us now, that as we ponder who Joseph is, as we ponder who we are, that we might hear your message for us today. Right here, right now. Help us to discern your voice speaking into our lives, speaking into our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite forth some of the folks who brought their nativity scenes this week, if you were willing to come this direction. I was saying to somebody, it's almost like we have a little mini art show every single Sunday, and I'm delighted with the variety. So introduce yourself and what scenes you brought and anything you love about them.
Okay, I'm Joan Changas. I brought three. I couldn't just bring one. I brought three. They're all precious to me for different reasons. They're all rather old, 30, 40 years old, but I don't get rid of things. Let me come back here. This is a traditional one. It wasn't expensive. It's very detailed and pretty. This is Italian made, but the precious thing about it was that this was a gift from my parents to Rich's parents. Hmm. This little set is molded hard wax. It's a beautiful little set, just so simple, and all the pieces. This was a gift from Pastor Tom and Bernice Kerr when Tom baptized our oldest son, Brett. And this little guy is the kneeling Santa, and I just love this. I've had this since our boys were little. But Santa worshiping the infant Jesus. I just love that.
Great.
Hi, I'm Kay Gardner. I'm knocking mine over already. over very many years, my husband has become quite the woodworker. I have a lot of furniture in my house that he's made, and so do our three children. Anyway, one day I went out to his shop, and I said, "What on earth are you going to do with all those scraps of wood?" He doesn't get rid of anything. So 2 or 3 weeks later, he came in with this. And I was thrilled. I had no idea he was doing this. And now our three children have one for themselves.
Wow. Oh, it's stunning. So this is the last set, and this was brought in by Bonnie. It's her daughter Amy actually owns this set. But when I was at the choir party last year, I saw it, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is hilarious. These are little blocks of wood. I mean, they're little, you know, 1 inch by 1 inch, but they have little names on them. Shepherd, you know, wise men, you know, Joseph, Mary, and this little block right here says Jesus. It's still, right, as simple as it is still recognizable as a nativity scene, interpreted in a completely different and modern way. So there's something both universal and unique as we look at these different scenes of how we come together around the Christ child. Also, we're building our nativity piece by piece underneath the cross with the set that the church has. And so last week there was an angel. This week we have the conversation between angel and Joseph. It's an odd combination. Doesn't it appear kind of incomplete? Even the minimalist nativities are usually the mother and the Joseph and the child. But because we're focusing on Joseph this week, we put him up there. Joseph is in a funny, funny position. I once put my foot in my mouth because I asked the staff at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in San Jose, trying to be kind of biblically educated, "So is your church named after Joseph from the Old Testament, the one with the multiple colors on his coat? Or is he named after, like, Joseph, the father of Jesus?" And the staff member gave me this quizzical look and went, "You mean the husband of Mary?" Yeah. Because Joseph isn't Jesus' baby daddy. Joseph, in common parlance, got cuckolded, right? He's raising another man's son, but as his own. Joseph, through none of his mistakes, nothing of his own doing, and none of his choices or actions, gets wrapped into this very difficult situation. Our modern American culture does not have the same level of scandal about this. There is still some shadow over unwed parents, but even our sort of back looks, or I wonder what happened there, is very minimal compared to the biblical New Testament culture. So you see, at that time, Joseph and Mary were more than engaged, not just having a little ring on the finger. Espousal would probably be the more correct term. You see, at that time, it was a pledge to be married. It was almost like the marriage ceremony took place in two parts. The first part is the pledge to be married, and the families are committed to one another. And so phase one, the contract is sort of already signed, and the money and the gifts start exchanging hands as if the two families are already tied together. Part two happens later, when the man and the woman actually sort of get to then live together. But really, their marriage in that sense has already begun. They are espoused. And so for Mary to be found pregnant in this time is super awkward. It's a breach of contract, and probably a sign of adultery. Or maybe the rumors were flying. Joseph and Mary were getting it on a little early. Either way, both Mary and Joseph look really, really bad. This is not a good situation. And for Joseph, either he's been betrayed by Mary, how's that for emasculating? Or he's got the critique of his character. Ah, yeah, you were in on this. Joseph, as he is facing the societal pressures, the shame, his own confusion about how did all this happen to me, has some choices to make. He could make a huge deal of this. He could publicly expose Mary, lay all the blame of her pregnancy upon her behavior. And in a patriarchal culture, not a Me Too culture, his word would be taken over hers. So she would be shamed. She would be damaged goods. She would be returned to her family. At a most extreme level, there were laws that allowed that she could be publicly executed by stoning. So Joseph had a choice to make a huge deal of this, but he takes a different route. He chooses a gentler path. He thinks, I'll still break this off, but let me do it quietly. Maybe a couple of delays in the actual wedding ceremony, maybe a long trip out of town, and letting the messiness of this affair sort of slide by and hope that somebody else's life mess overshadows what's going on with us. To get out of the situation, but not with a big scene. And this was considered to be a righteous action, that he was trying to actually do well by Mary. He's trying to do well by himself. But then Joseph gets faced with yet another choice. In the scriptures, an angel appears to him and reveals that Mary is pregnant, not through her own sin, not through her own mistakes or infidelity, but pregnant through the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a big deal. Joseph hears this message and gets a set of instructions. Mary will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. So go ahead, complete your marriage to Mary. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the gossip fallout. Do not be afraid of the rumors of betrayal. Stay with Mary. Go forward. Matthew's account of this in the gospel is so spare. We do not get the anguish of Joseph's thought process. We do see Joseph's actions. For when he wakes up, he is resolved to take Mary as his wife. And in making this choice, Joseph offers himself to step in and be Jesus' earthly father. Jesus needed an earthly father, just the way that our families need protection and nurture. Jesus needed someone who was going to raise him, to teach him, to guide him, to discipline him, to make him go to sleep at night. And he needed the protection of being able to learn a trade. Also, though, Jesus needed an earthly father to give him his lineage. In that culture, you didn't get your, and even in our culture, you don't get your family name from your mother's side. You get it from your father's side. And so it is through Joseph that Jesus gets linked to the line of David. That's why they're in Bethlehem, in David's city. And in fact, if you read the genealogies, it is Joseph's name on that long list of genealogies. And when we sing about the root of Jesse and the descendant of the line of David, that all comes through Joseph and Joseph's name, not Mary. It is how Jesus gets grafted in to that ancient kingly and royal line. Another thing that Jesus needed that Joseph offered was protection. Mary was vulnerable, and so was the unborn Jesus in her belly. Joseph, as a man, held power over her, and he used his power not to cast her aside, but to stand with her and beside her, possibly taking on the critics and standing tall. He probably took some lumps for it. He might have took some heat for it. But because of his standing in the community, he could take it on more than Mary could. As a professional in town, perhaps people didn't talk behind him as much, because he used his standing, his voice, and his power to protect Mary. Adam Hamilton, in his book, Christmas Through the Eyes of Joseph, therefore dubs Joseph as the patron saint of doubters, of foster parents, of step parents, and adoptive parents. For Joseph steps into this role not of his own design, but takes fully on the task of raising and loving this child. I heard this story from a colleague who talked about an incident that she had run into. She was in a waiting room outside an intensive care unit on a late summer's night. 16-year-old Nathan and a friend had gone to the mall, driving from their own small town to the city. They'd taken a shortcut that they'd taken with their parents dozens of times before. It wasn't that late. They hadn't been drinking. They even had their seatbelts on, but the paved road turned to gravel before they remembered, and the car rolled. Nathan's friend walked away from the accident with no more than a broken leg, but Nathan was in intensive care with a brain injury. And so the pastor stood with the stepmother, Beth, late that night, and his dad, Dave, had stepped out for a minute. When Beth told this story, in Dave's first marriage, the wife had been unfaithful. And when Nathan was born, his dad, the only dad he had ever known, claimed him as his own, raised him as his own, loved him as his own. And when that wife left him, he continued to do just that. And now in this hospital, he kept vigil with him, supported him through years of therapy. He did the right thing, like Joseph. In the middle of a situation where everything was wrong and he wouldn't have had to step in, he chose to step above and beyond what anyone else might have reasonably expected to do. Dave's attitude was he was going to be dad. Where else would he be except by his son's side? Dave didn't see his actions as heroic. He was just doing what a loving father would do. It didn't matter to him that he was stepfather or adopted father or biological father. He was going to be father, and he showed up. I don't think that Joseph saw his actions as heroic either. And that's good news for us. For God used a humble carpenter, Joseph, to play a huge role in God's story of salvation. God doesn't use the famous, the powerful, and the extraordinary to bring Christ to all. He uses the ordinary stepfathers, the ordinary men and women, the ordinary characters. So what about us? What can we learn from Joseph? Well, we learned that he nurtured. We learned that he shared his name and his lineage. And we learned that he offered protection. And in doing so, did the righteous thing along the way. I think in that way, Joseph can be a model for each of us. For we too can also make these choices to love. To love, yes, in our biological families of our own flesh and blood, but to extend that sense of protected love when we see those who are vulnerable around us. One of the times, perhaps, that God has invited us to speak and use our power to protect those who are vulnerable, who need someone with some standing to be there with them and beside them. It doesn't take a hero to do this. It doesn't take somebody in a uniform to do this. It just takes us. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.